Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing on this fine day?
I'm in a very good mood because I've just read email story is from one of our excellent listeners. So I'm very much looking forward to piling through that one. It's very funny. Very funny. Looking forward to it. And that, Chris, being a radio professional myself, is how you do a tease. You've got some great content coming up on the show later on.
We really have.
No, we really don't. We are rank amateurs. We really are.
How are you doing, Chris?
What's going on in...
I don't even do a good job promoting the podcast. It's awful.
There's so many people on your bloody Twitter who are like, I didn't know you had a podcast. I was like, what? How could you not know? If you're a fan of someone, how do you not know that person's got a podcast? Clearly, we're doing something wrong, Chris. Clearly, we can do more.
I think it's because it's for one reason and one reason alone. We don't have the podcast on YouTube in any way, shape, or form. Not even clips, right? Something we should probably address, and something I'm looking into by popular demand. But yeah, I kind of like the fact that we're a bit like Fight Club. We're basically Fight Club, but better.
Yeah, we are. People don't know we're doing it.
The first rule of the Abroad in Japan podcast is you don't talk about it, right? So, yeah, well done.
Ends up with a blown up building.
Oh God, spoilers! But like, if you're listening in, you are a member of the Abroad in Japan Fight Club. Well done, you're one of the chosen few, 150,000 few. Awesome. I'm all right. I'm bracing myself to finally have the Ken Watanabe documentary up. People have been asking, quite rightly so, where is the documentary, Chris? You promised it would be here. It's not here yet, but it's coming. Basically, I finished it. It's been sent to the management team. It's been got copyright approved for all the stuff that I used in the documentary. And now Ken Watanabe himself is watching it and is going to give the thumbs up or the thumbs down on whether it's good to go. So it's the ball's in his court now. It's pretty weird to think something that I've produced is being watched by Ken Watanabe. It's pretty cool. Don't know how I feel about that.
Mm. Yeah, I can imagine him in his hotel room going, let's see whether Chris has done me or sold me a kipper. Let's see if Chris Broad, the man I called a friend, see whether he's done me over or not. And he sits back in his high-backed armchair and he does like a Man from Del Monte thumbs up at the end of it. And then you get to release the documentary finally.
It'll be interesting to see. There's one bit left I've got to do, and that is the English subtitling, basically sort of translating his Japanese and whatnot for the viewers. And there's one kind of complicated hurdle that I haven't worked out yet. And it's the last line of the entire documentary. He basically calls me an idiot in Japanese, right? In a sort of fun way. You're familiar with Inception, right? You know Inception, the spinner that determines if it's reality or not.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so we had a scene where I joked that I didn't know if it was reality or not, so I wanted to spin it and do the spinner and see if I was living in a real world or a dream world. And he did it, and then he said something along... He basically said in English... This is the real reason he wanted to meet, isn't it? What an idiot. Ha, ha, ha. And then the documentary ends. And it's quite a good ending, to be fair.
Yeah.
But he says, oh, baka dana. Like, what an idiot. But, like, I don't want to write what an idiot, because for me that comes across as too strong. What I would say is what a muppet, to be honest. Like, muppet works, but then I feel muppet. Like, would that work?
It's very
work?
British, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
It's very British. I think... what a liability.
What a liability.
What a fool. Fool is softer, I think. I think fool is softer than idiot.
What a fool. Even that sounds a bit strong, though. I just worry that...
I don't think it does.
I guess... What a C word.
What a cunt. What a massive cunt.
What a guy. What about that? What a guy.
What a dildo. What a guy. That doesn't make any sense. He's got to criticise himself slightly. And
right,
I think,
right.
Yeah, what a fool. I think fool is the sort of word that people would use around the world. They would understand what fool... You know, Shakespeare, isn't it? The classic role of the fool in theatre back in the day. The fool. Mm. Imbecile. The twat.
The Brit in me... The Brit in me wants to use what a muppet or what a donkey, but... I've got to think donkey. Global.
I think donkey and muppet might get you into more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, his Japanese management team might be like, why did you write what a donkey on screen? Why did you write that?
Looking like a Japanese to English dictionary that a Japanese person would use and see what they would translate backer into as an English word. Bearing in mind that might be wrong too.
Well, it would be idiot, I think. Let me look it up now. Yeah, it says idiot, moron, fool.
Moron's strong, isn't it? That's a strong
moron.
Moron. Yeah.
What a dickhead. Imagine that at the last line. What a dickhead. And then the credits start to roll. That would be pretty fun. I'd approve. One of the weird sort of problems you have to think about when you're subtitling Ken Watanabe, insulting you.
Yeah.
It's great, though.
We're always doing it.
You've seen the opening. It's great. The opening of the documentary opens with me insulting him. I basically say, I'm scared. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because you're very, you're a very scary, intimidating person. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm a gentleman. And then the credits roll. And then at the end, he's like, this is the only reason you wanted to meet me. What an idiot. And then the credits end. So it ends with him insulting me. And it just starts with me insulting him.
Yeah, and just sort of like idiot, just have idiot, but like have a big echo on the end. Hey, idiot, 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 like that. It's a classic idiot, and then a big freeze frame of Ken Watanabe and you, and it just says Ken Watanabe is an idiot in big letters, big Photoshop letters, 78 size, layer effects on, drop shadow, emboss, everything. Just Ken Watanabe is an idiot.
Good God.
Good God.
And if
Good
I'd done God. That, I don't think the documentary would have been approved. But yeah,
well,
so hopefully.
Have to edit it.
If you get the thumbs up, it could be up as soon as this week. So fingers bloody crossed there. Fingers crossed. It's been a long battle, but I think it'll be worth it when it goes up.
Good man. Good fingers man.
Crossed. We've got a story this week from Gerard from Melbourne. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. Just thought I'd share a bit of an awkward moment I had in my Japan Exchange teaching interview this very morning. I had to declare my tattoos on my JET medical form. Oh, I didn't know that. Crikey. And one of the interviewers raised it during the interview. I reiterated what I'd written on the application, that they're not visible when wearing a business shirt with the sleeves rolled up, and that I'd keep them covered while working. Very good. I then said, I can show you, and started to take off my jacket with the intention of rolling up my shirt sleeves to show this was the case. All three panel members immediately broke into a chorus of, no, 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 please, it's okay. And I quickly realised I hadn't made my intention clear, and they must have thought that I was going to go all Magic Mike on them. We all had a laugh, and the interview went well. But have either of you heard of any stories about JET interviews going awkward or making any weird occurrences? Fingers crossed, I make it through to April for JET. Cheers, guys. Gerard from Melbourne. Best of luck, Gerard. That's a great story, though.
Yeah.
It probably works in your favour.
Off, Gerard.
Yeah.
You deviant.
He just unzipped his trousers. I'll show you. I
Just stripping it off.
how to succeed in the jet interview. Life hacks.
Yeah. A jet's a sexy go-go nightclub, isn't it? Oh, it's a language school. What? Oh, nuts.
Oh, man. It's... yeah, I think probably worked in his favour, though. They probably saw that he had a good sense of humour and whatnot. I don't think tattoos will get in the way, though. Like, I knew quite a few people that had tattoos on Jet. I think everyone had a tattoo that I knew. You just got to keep them concealed. Even if I had a friend who got on Jet and the tattoos came all the way down his arms. Meant he had to keep his shirt on, which is a bit of a problem in the summer. You might regret getting those tattoos.
Such a pain. Yeah. There's a wrestler, I think he's MVP in the WWE, and he always have to wear, I think he, as a younger man, he had a few gang tattoos. I think that's a story. If it's wide of the mark, I apologise. But I think he had a few gang tattoos, and that's where he wear this really weird long singlet that covered them all up and stuff. And I understand why, but it's just like, oh, that's a bit of a shame, isn't it? You've kind of made a decision there that means that you're just constantly warm, constantly got to have something in contact with your body. Oh, rough.
Bloody nightmare. I mean, both Pete and I did the Jet interview. Only one of us got through. Yeah, Brack, but
two very different situations. Unfortunately,
mine went pretty crap. If I recall, I thought I did pretty badly. To be honest, it's a miracle. Well, it's not a miracle. The only reason I got on is because of Fukushima. About four people applied for the Jet program in my year.
That year, right?
Against the backdrop of a nuclear disaster. That's literally the only reason I got through. I think everyone was put off.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you have an awkward experience on your Jet interview? Do you remember it?
No, I turned up without any preparation, tried to freestyle it, and was quite rightly shown the door.
What? How did you freestyle it?
Honestly, Chris, I'd had like 4 hours sleep. I was really nervous.
Oh, no.
I hadn't prepared. And the sort of show plan, the lesson plan, I had no...
show
sort of
plan
history and doing any of this show sort plan. Of lesson plan
right
the sort of, well I was thinking in radio or podcast concepts but like this kind of the lesson plan was just like what they went from was just very vague, and I didn't really have much grounding in how to, and back then, like, you know, the internet, there wasn't much on the internet to sort of steal from effectively, and so it was kind of difficult. And so I turned up, tried free, I'm fairly certain I bought from the train station, like King's Cross train station, like a teddy bear.
Oh, my God.
And decided to start like a thing where you throw the teddy bear into someone's arms and tell them to say a word or something. It was so shit, Chris. It was deep and distant. I can't remember, but it was genuinely...
You never told me
I know what
that.
I'll add into the mix. No, yeah, I seem to remember there was a teddy bear involved, and they gave me my little letter telling me to get the fuck out of town. And, yeah, my life didn't change one iota, except... I went to bed and got a lot of sleep. So look, I'm not a big game player. I stress out, I panic, I fuck it up. Just the way it is, really, isn't it?
I'm just picturing you like throwing a teddy at like the Japanese ambassador to the UK and be like, "Say a word. The word begins
say a
with
word,
T.
Dickhead, backer."
I got through. I was very lucky. They literally asked me nothing. I don't remember much of it.
Yeah.
I talked about
how... Do you want me to take my top off now?
I'll show you. Unzips pants.
I'll show you my tats.
My interview is really crap. I don't really remember it at all, other than I talked about Wabi Sabi and I talked about some books I read. I basically said, I'll go anywhere. I'm desperate. I'll go anywhere in Japan.
I'll go anywhere.
Yeah.
Ominous.
Because on my application, I'd written I wanted to go to Kobe because there's Wagyu beef and that looked like a cool thing. But I sort of specified that I was happy to go anywhere. And they sort of grilled me on that a little bit. They were like, really? You wanted to go anywhere? And I think I literally said... No, I remember what I said in person. I said, you can put me in a cave in Hokkaido and I'll still go. And they sort of nodded along. They didn't find that funny. They were like, oh. Probably is a cave in Hokkaido where you can teach English. So, But they put me halfway between Kobe and Hokkaido. I got Yamagata. But I remember being pretty damn nervous, though. Just remember, when you go in for the Jet interview, every stage of being inside the embassy or wherever the interview is, you're sort of being monitored. So, for example, before I went in for my interview, I don't know if you had this, you have to do like a spelling test. And
right, okay.
there's like an ex-jet, somebody that was on the jet program, who will talk to you, basically. And it's very informal. They're just there to talk to you. And it seems they're like your friend. But actually, they're secretly sort of grilling you. They're secretly interrogating you a little bit, and they'll give their feedback on. I had a friend. Yep. I won't say who or where, but he, I knew him in Yamagata, and he went on to work as an interviewer for the JET program. And he told me it was a bit of a shit show. He sort of said it was a disaster. Loads of people who are really good were just turned down, just because they didn't have enough tangible sort of love for Japanese culture, like manga or whatever. You know, he said that a lot of people.
What? So that actually goes for you? You'd want the people who are a bit more serious about it being a career rather than I like manga, I like swords.
Yeah, he said that that's a big factor, and I should ask him more. To be honest, I've been meaning to meet up with him next time I'm back home and grill him a bit. But like, yeah, I want to find out what the criteria is. But I think one thing I look for is, you know, do you have any? If you have any teaching experience, you're in. You're basically in. You're done. Well done. Yeah. You're on. That's a big. That's the biggest factor. He also said he had that really awkward situation where quite a lot of applicants had written abroad in Japan down as a reason they wanted to go to Japan. Don't do that.
Okay.
That's not good enough. That won't do you any favours. Although he did say, he said, kind of reassuringly, but also not, that the best applicant and the worst applicant had both cited Abroad in Japan channel.
Nice.
That's reasons they wanted to go to Japan. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say don't do that, though.
If I had my time again, I would turn up with my top off, with several daubings about how much I love Japan. There'd be a drawing of Sailor Moon on my belly button, and I would serenade them with a 5-hour rock opera that I'd made myself with a Bontempi keyboard and a copy of Sonny Vegas, all about Coolish, and that would, I think, get
Korean owned product.
And at the end, I'd say I'm trying to get into the country to, I don't know, get Ken, get Big Ken, Ken W, Big Ken W. I want to hug him.
I think you'd be, if you did everything you just explained, I think you'd be arrested very quickly and detained within the embassy.
They'd say, how are you fixed for the rest of your life as mayor of Japan? You sound cool.
Inside, it's, some crazy things happen inside the mind of Pete Dawson. But Pete, cheer me up.
Body.
What we got? The news of the week. What's going down in Japan? Fill us in.
Chris, you are not good. We talked about this delicious liquor on last week's show, and you will not believe this. Nobody is fucking drinking sake at the moment. Young Japanese people are not drinking Nihonshu. They've tried to market to the young generation by incorporating a brewery creations that are named after the Foo Fighters or Ed Sheeran, you know. But this isn't working. Young people are not interested in drinking sake. They've surveyed 10,000 men and women ranging in age between their 20s and 60s. How often they drank sake? Out of those who responded in their 20s or 30s, 28% said they'd not drunk sake for over a year. And 42% responded they'd never drunk sake before, meaning 70% of young people surveyed had not had any sake in over a year.
Whoa. That's pretty impressive.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, because whenever you think of Japan, you think sake, you think Wagyu beef, and they're clearly not get bothering with the old sake. Maybe it's an acquired taste. There's a massive gender discrepancy, apparently. 74% of all women surveyed said that they'd not drunk any sake for over a year. And, and male respondents apparently said that they love drinking sake alone, those of them who are interested in the world of sake. But there's fewer women drinking sake than ever before. There's fewer people drinking sake overall. It's sad. Sad.
It is sad. I do think we're going to see like a big impact in the next coming decade, basically, of sake breweries closing and whatnot. There's so many, but like, it is a shame. I like sake. I'll admit, I do not drink it that much. I probably drink it once or twice a month.
Yeah,
I it hits me pretty hard. I guess that's a good thing. You don't need much sake, but it'll hit you pretty hard. It's very deceptive. Yeah. It's lovely in winter. We talked about it last week, how it's really nice having it as atsukan, hot sake.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff in winter. But it's a shame. But I kind of understand it, because I like drinks like vodka or gin that can be mixed with fruits and cocktails and whatnot, which are more popular with younger people. You can't really do that with sake. I have had some incredible sake cocktails. I had a cocktail once that's like, it was just cow piss. You know, cow piss? Cow piss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The sort of milky,
like a sweet yogurty drink.
Yeah, the sweet yogurty drink light, mixed with sake. And it was honestly one of the best cocktails I've ever had. The guy nailed the proportions and whatnot, the ratio of sake to cow piss. I should probably steal the recipe. But like, that was good. And I feel like that needs to happen more. There needs to be more sort of sake-infused cocktails going forward to appeal to younger generations. Sake, otherwise, you know, I can see sake not becoming extinct, but really dying out of fashion and lots of great businesses going under. Like, a lot of rural towns and economies in Japan rely on the sake business, on sort of ancient breweries going back hundreds of years. So real shame, real shame.
I had some at Christmas, but the one sake that is apparently very well reviewed and very well loved in Japan, the only one that's really available on your high street and your Waitrose's, maybe Sainsbury's as well, Sawanatsuru Deluxe Sake is very, you see it all over the place, but it's, people review it very well, but I can't get on with it really. I think it's it's not great warm, better cold, but it's still, I've had better, to be honest. I've had more, maybe it's just kind of like, I just prefer a fruitier drink. And certainly the sparkling sake that I've had before is very delicious.
Oh, it's really good.
Is that strictly sake?
It's beautiful. I love
the little bottles. I've had a little one. They come in little bottles, and it's adorable little things. Shirakabegura Mio Sparkling Sake.
Sounds like a rap song.
You can buy it online. Shirakabegura.
Shirakabegura. My favourite sake. If you're sort of new to sake and you want something that is sort of accessible, drinkable, but delicious, Nigori Sake. Nigori sake, literally cloudy sake. It's a beautiful thing. It's got a sort of mild sweetness to it. And almost the texture of cow piss, to be honest. It almost tastes like drinking a cocktail, Nigori sake, but it's cloudy and it has a lot more... I think the bottle itself has a lot more of the mash from the rice and the sake inside it. But yeah, really drinkable, very nice. I often drink it alongside yakitori skewered meat that I have like once a week. The place I go, that they serve really nice nigori sake, beautiful stuff. But no, I do love sake, but there's a time and a place for it. And I feel like it goes very well with Japanese food, but it just feels a bit weird drinking sake alongside not Japanese food. And that's a big problem. I think it's going to suffer as a result. Sad times.
Indeed. Sad times for sake.
Sad times. But Kit Kat sake flavour is amazing. And if you could try one one of Japan's many exotic Kit Kat flavours, Kit Kat sake flavour is the one to try. It's got a sort of white chocolate taste, sweet undertones, very fragrant, very floral. Beautiful stuff. I eat it a lot more than I care to admit. But hopefully someone will work out sake plus mixers equals amazing cocktails and will revitalise the world of sake. I wish that was going to happen. It won't. We'll be back with the Facts Machine, your stories and questions, guys, in just a moment.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Dawson, hit me.
We got a message from Alex. Alex, who has a wonderfully French name. And Alex resides in Quebec, in Canada. As you both put our content to a large audience, I'm rather sure you pay close attention to your spelling before you publish anything. As mixing up then and than, or throwing the absurd could of, can turn any text from a poem to a second grader's first draft. Or maybe that's just me. I'm not really sure. I'm trying to read that sentence again. I'm a little bit confused. My question to Chris is, are there common mistakes in Japanese you see locals make when they write or send text messages? So do people make common mistakes that are confusing?
I mean, if you want common mistakes, if you want to see the Japanese mindset or like rudimentary Japanese English, just go look at Natsuki on Instagram. He always writes, you know, he writes that himself. I don't like filter it.
Yeah.
For example, yeah. I haven't seen this. This is great. There's a photo of him dressed in snow gear. It says, "Hi, everyone.
Yeah.
Scary snow. This year's snow is awesome. The amount of snow that has never been seen in the past is already hard. Snow was removed too much, and a mountain was created in the parking lot of my shop. Volcano in the shop." That was Natsuki's.
He writes a bit like Donald Trump does his speeches.
It's probably better than that.
Probably better.
Yeah. I mean, my favourite thing is I don't even know if it's a spelling mistake. It's just an interesting phrasing. The my first and I think last Japanese guy I dated, when we before we started dating, we went up for a few dates. It was going well. And I remember she went home after we spent the night together, and she went home, and I got a message in the afternoon that just said, "Do we become lovers? ? And that's always stuck with me. It's technically correct, isn't it?
Do we become lovers?
Do we become lovers?
I've texted that so many times to you. And you never respond, you callous bastard.
It's one of those things, though. Like, it's correct. It makes sense, but it just sounds weird and off. But I'm going to try that on my next date with anyone. Yeah. Do we become lovers? I'll probably destroy any future prospects very swiftly. We've got one here from Ula from Sweden. I hope I pronounced that right, Ula. Hello, Chrissy, Chris and PEP. I've become obsessed with the idea of cycling from Onomichi to Imabari across the inland sea of Japan from watching the episode of Journey Across Japan where he did it. Unfortunately, due to a genuine fear of bridges, he won't do the cycling with me. Doesn't specify who he is. I'm assuming it's a boyfriend. Fortunately, I'm a raging introvert and don't mind the thought of spending some time alone with a bike and some scenery. I understand there are ferries that will take you across from island to island, and our plan would be for my boyfriend to hop on one of these and meet me on the islands here and there. I suspect that I would take longer to arrive than him on the ferry, and I worry it would be boring for him to just walk around waiting for me to arrive. Are any of the islands fun on their own to loiter around in? Much love, Ula from Sweden, with her boyfriend afraid of bridges. That's an interesting fear, isn't it? I don't think I've ever heard of that one. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Have you heard of that before?
There's certainly my dog Lola very much hates bridges in that she will run away from... She'll run away from one side of a bridge only to find herself at the other side of a bridge, which she doesn't seem to mind quite so much, even though they're identical. They're identical elevation from the floor, identical heights, identical danger, but she'll just choose one. She'll go, get me away from that one, Pete. I'm going to go over here. And then, but she's fine with that side of things, with the exact same situation, but on the left-hand side. Confusing.
We've learned a lot about dogs today.
Exactly. And bridges, for crying out loud. Yeah,
bridges and
a
dogs.
Genuine fear of bridges. Yeah.
I don't know if there are actually ferries that will take you across the islands in the way you think they will. And unfortunately, I don't think that's an option. There's probably a ferry that goes across the inland sea. Well, there is a ferry that goes across the inland sea, but you'd be separated for a very long time. And I don't think it would work, sadly. I think you're going to have to get your boyfriend to just somehow, we'll just get a ferry across and you're going to have to meet him. Isn't that strange that you've got a fear of bridges but not of ferries? I would have thought a ferry would be scarier. Mm. I don't want to scare him now. I don't want to put him off ferries as well. I don't want to create another fear. But I would encourage him to get over his fear of bridges somehow and join you on the cycle, because it is, hands down, the greatest thing you can do. Physical challenge in Japan, for my money. I love that cycle, and I need to do it again soon. It's been far too long. It's been 4 years now, and it is an incredible thing. We got one here from Tim, who says, "Dear captivating, courageous Chris," very good, "and particularly peculiar Pete." What is all these bloody adjectives every week? Ohio. From Ohio. "I enjoy listening to Japanese or Japanese-derived music when I can in between podcasts. Some artists such as Kitaro Hiroshima and Yumi Aria. Since I have similar taste to you, Chris, with a love of interesting 80s-themed music, I was wondering if you had any Japanese or any inspired music, any artists one could check out to get more into the Japanese culture. Keep up the good work, the both of you. Tim." There's a really good band Natsuki and I both bonded over years ago, and we both recalled recently when we hung out. It's a band called Blanky Jet City. Bit of a weird name, as you'd expect from a Japanese band. Really cool, like rock music from the 90s though, and I actually put their music in a lot of my earlier videos and somehow avoided copyright strikes. I also put in a lot of music from Meiko Kaji, whose song everyone's heard, one of her songs, I think it's called Snow something or other. It's the one in Kill Bill. Have you seen Kill Bill, where Lucy Liu meets a grisly end? Spoilers, but everyone knows it's going to happen. There's an end scene with Uma Thurman and chopping someone up. Chopping Lucy Liu. Fucking chopping Lucy Liu. Spoilers everywhere. Lucy Liu gets fucked up by Uma Thurman and the song starts playing. It's a beautiful song. And that artist, Meiko Kaji, I listened to a lot of her music when I first arrived here. It's kind of Enka-style music. It's like she's singing a story and I kind of like that. And I used to listen to that a lot. And I put her music in the Abroad in Japan videos in the early days. Meiko
wasn't
Kaji.
There, wasn't there a band in... Cool. Wasn't there a Japanese band in Kill Bill that was... the 1-2-3-4s or something that they were called, or the 5-6-7-8s or something. Yeah,
yeah.
I think I saw them at Reading Festival, and they only had that song. They very much only had that song.
God, that'd be so awkward. Like as an artist, having like only one song, and then playing some other ones, and no one caring. And of course, Battle Without Honour or Humanity, which is the most overplayed. Great song, massively overplayed. Kill Bill had a solid soundtrack. Credit where it's due. Also, Tatsuro Yamashita, I bang on about him all day long. He's great. I don't listen to that much Japanese music, though. I know I listen to City Pop quite a lot, but I don't really listen to as much Japanese music as people would think. Not really my thing. What about you, Pete? What you got? Give us some
I remember sort of I for quite a while I had like quite a lot of Japanese music on old hard drives, and every now and again, you know, when you have those lost afternoons where you're trying to look for a certain file that's 10 years old and you go on an old hard drive and then you're just you're just looking at old videos, watching pictures. I just had a lot of Mr. Children videos and stuff, and obviously like they are probably the biggest rock band to come out of Japan. They are, would you say, like the U2 of Japan? They're absolutely gigantic. But you know, anything, it's interesting. They're not particularly good, but they're certainly interesting. Bump of Chicken, remember Bump of Chicken? They're similar sort of thing. They're very anime. They sound very good. I like the punk band High Standard back in the day, who I think were on Fat Records. They're quite fun.
I got into Larkin CL after I met Hyde. I hadn't really heard much of Hyde's music when I met him, the rock star. And Larkin CL are one of the sort of top five artists in Japan of all time. And their music from the 90s is really good. Like, they did Drivers High, the soundtrack for GTA, my favourite anime series. And they did some really cool songs. And most of my Japanese friends love Larkin CL. And it's easy to see why. They've got sort of like happy-go-lucky pop sort of style of music. Hyde himself is a fantastic singer. He's a very good singer.
Yeah.
And so I recommend Larkin CL in the 90s. There's a real cool 90s vibe. 90s Japan. I love it. Everything about 90s and 80s. Nothing good happened in the 2000s. Let's just forget about that.
New metal happened in the 2000s, sunshine.
But what's happening now? It's all up from here.
No new metal. Yeah. True.
I need to uncover more music in Japan, though. I need to do a bit more hard work there. Keep the stories.
Start a band with Natsuke.
Natsuke. Well, that's a good song.
Remember that Journey Across Japan song? Yeah, you've actually been at the heart of two musical endeavours. Natsuki's band with his old schoolmates or whatever it was, and Too Much Volcano, obviously, as well. Two very different vibes. You're like playing with the genres.
I think that song Natsuki did was actually kind of cool. It was like at the end. We're talking about end of Natsuki the movie, right? Where he unite. That's a really nice story. I think Natsuki the movie, the opening and the ending are really rock solid, but the middle just goes all over the place, especially as you're in it. But like the ending with the band reuniting for the first time in 10-15 years, bashing out a song about Natsuki's trip to London and Paris, it's actually kind of cool. I take that for granted, how awesome that is.
Yeah.
Go listen to that. Go listen to that, Tim. That'll inspire you. But go and watch all of Natsuki the movie first. Otherwise, it makes no sense and it will sound dreadful. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening as always. We'll be back to do it all over again later in the week. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll be right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast very soon. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.